don't tired. 10 o'clock, let's go. Good morning. Man. I'm telling you, yeah, you acted like you woke up a little bit then. You see what our topic is this morning. When my health fails. Life brings a lot of struggles, doesn't it? Hello? You don't talk this morning. Thank you. Life brings a lot of questions about aging and disease and death, doesn't it? We're going to talk about some of those in the mornings this week. You ever ask yourself this question, why in the world do we have to age? Vicki and a gentleman at Washington Avenue several years ago, I think he died about 95 years old, and they were talking about aging. One of the comments that I heard them discussing was that aging is not fun. A lot of people struggle with questions about disease. Why does disease happen? I hear this especially about specific diseases. Why did this person have to get this disease? Y'all ever hear those kind of questions? You know, some people get really fired up and get angry at God because disease happens in their life. I suspect several of you this morning are struggling with things in your life, and it can be tough. It can be the cloud and almost the hopelessness that the word cancer can bring to us. It can be the fog of Alzheimer's. It can be the slow descent into frailty of Parkinson's. It can be the roller coaster ride of mental illness. It can be the physical sap on a person's body of ALS. I mean, it's amazing the things that we face. You may have some serious problems with your own health. And I thought about this morning asking if you wanted to talk about it, and then I thought that'd probably depress us all if we all said, let's talk about all of our ailments. So I decided not to do that. Vicki has faced cancer for 7 years. Tough, tough battle. She was 56 years old when in 2008 she was hurting over in this part of her chest, and they thought it was pleurisy. Gave her some medicine. 10 days later we thought she might be a little bit better. Early July she was hurting through here all the way through to her back, and we found out that they said it was a pleurisy, and they were just going to give her some more medicine, and Vicki worked at a health clinic, and she told the doctor, she said, you need to do a CAT scan on me because something's wrong. And an hour later, we got a phone call that she had a tumor between her heart and spine. And it's been an amazing roller coaster. She went through chemo for, radiation for 6 weeks. I won't even tell you all the stuff that happened in that 6 weeks. Is just incredible. Chemo for 4 months, and then on one chemo for 2 years, and then the cancer came back over here on the pleural lining, and put her on another drug. She was on it for 2 years, and then it just about beat her up physically, and they stopped for a year, and then it came back down here and up here, and about 2.5 years ago, and so she's been on that drug again for 2.5 years. So she's been on chemo for 6 of the last 7 years, so every 3 weeks. I don't know how she does it. She's tough. And but you know what, folks? Illness can become a focus in your life. Your name is Chuck. Chuck's got some serious struggles. And, you know, it's just like if you're having to go and do dialysis. Our lives rotate around 3-week cycles. Just is. Yours rotates around every day. Yeah, 5 days a week. I mean, it's just reality. I want to have a little fun. You have to. You don't have any choice. Yeah, you don't have any choice. That's right. I want to have a little fun as we talk about seriousness today with you, because sometimes we need to laugh a little bit in the midst of difficulty, you know? I did it again. I don't use this thing very much. I'm used to just using my other one and a click. Hit the lights down a little bit. You know, ideally what everybody wants to do is look at aging like that. It's all smiles. It's all travel. It's all cruises. You know, we got our kids through college. We got more money than we ever had in our life. you ever notice you got a raise when your kids got out of school? A lot of young parents don't have a clue, do they? We look at that kind of picture, you know, and we think, wow, it's interesting. The other side is you look at that picture, and it's like, that's me. Because aging can be kind of unnerving and a frightening word in the concept and reality. I'm going to suggest to you today that we can face aging in at least a couple, maybe more ways, but one way we can face it is with anger or terror, or we can face it with preparation and see aging as in reality just a step between great life here and the anticipation of going home. I'm amazed in our culture what people do to avoid or to mask aging. And by the way, we all do it. You and I are bombarded with messages that say you've got to stay young. Right? Folks, this is a $1 billion business. You look at all the ads for makeup, tummy tucks, hair dyes, liposuctions, Grecian formula, fat farms, facelifts, exercise routines, lotions, on and on and on. Everybody's got an answer. I suspect that what you all are facing, everybody's got an answer. This is the answer to what you deal with. When you're dealing with cancer, it gets to the point that people walk up and they start giving you, here's another remedy. It's like my mind just turns them off. I don't want to hear it. I've heard all of them. I don't need to hear another one. The world's message to you and me is, you're just not acceptable and you're not valuable if you're old. That's kind of the world's message today. God's message is totally different. God's message is we become more beautiful with age. Those of us who are Christians ought to become better and more like Christ as we face the struggles that life brings. The reality is that value does not decrease in God's sight as our hairs gray or fall out. Rather, it increases. Here are people who've lived many years serving God. People of lengthy faith, hours of prayer, great knowledge in His Word, people who love the Lord, people who love His church. Y'all come on in. You're welcome. But we live in an age that in reality we are blessed. Wouldn't you all agree? By the way, how many of you are in your 80s, if you want to admit it? Anybody in your 80s? Any of you in your 70s? 60s? Anybody in your 90s? I forgot to ask that one.
He's not here.
We had a lady die just a few years ago. Washington Avenue was 102.
Yeah. Her got 100. He's 96.
Uh-huh. Come on in. Yeah, okay. Have you all heard this phrase? I think I'm right on this. That the 80s today are the new 50s. Have you all heard that phrase? Tell me what they're trying to say.
They get aged for years to stay young.
That's a part of it. What else do you think they're trying to say? Excuse me. Well, it can be somebody wanting to promote, but I'm hearing this in the healthcare industry. It's being said a lot. Yeah, I think here's the idea. How many of you remember when you were 15? Can you remember that? How many of you remember you were 15 and you saw somebody that was 55? They had one foot already in the grave. And when you were 15, if you saw somebody that was 70, really old. I mean, it's like, you know, they're done for. Do y'all understand? There's an interesting thing about where we live. We live in a situation where there's wonderful blessing, and with the blessing comes some negativity. We live in an age of improved health care and technology that brings longer lifespans. People today are living, in their 70s, 80s, right here we are, 90s, my dad's 95 and a half, hundreds. Did you know that the average lifespan has increased from 1900 in the United States, from 47 to in 2077? I suspect that's increased since then. I haven't looked up those stats. At Washington Avenue, we've had a couple of folks who have lived into their hundreds. We have a number of people in our congregation who are in their 90s, a lot of folks in their 80s. And yet the reality is, it doesn't matter how long we live, we're aging, and we're not going to escape all the struggles that come our way. Now, if you can't see what's up on the screen, you may want to open your Bible. But if you can see what's on the screen, I'm going to be turning to Ecclesiastes 12 and the first 7 verses. So if you want to look at it. By the way, the book of Ecclesiastes, what's it all about? What's Ecclesiastes about? Vanity. Who wrote the book? Solomon. He ought to know. I love it. Why ought you know?
Because he was
taken in. By the world. Here's a guy who in essence said, you know what? I stopped listening to my daddy. I stopped listening to God. And here's what I said. You know what's important to me? Fame. Wine. Women. And the ways of the world. And he got kind of overcome with all of it, wouldn't you agree? By the way, just a question for you. Do you think Solomon repented?
Oh, he's
not in Hebrews 11, but a lot of people aren't. I like to think that how Ecclesiastes begins and ends, that just maybe he finally got it. But what a waste of life. And you know, I look at our world today and what I see people doing is exactly what Solomon did. They're headed into everything that there can be. And they think all that gives them meaning. And they don't have anything. And especially when illness and aging hit. I want you to think, by the way, it's important. Those of you who teach Bible classes and those of you who preach, I want to caution you something. I hear my preaching brethren a lot of times quote out of places in the Bible as if that's what God's saying. And you need to be very careful. Now, I'm going to ask you a question. Is everything in the Bible revealed from God and inspired by the Holy Spirit? Yes or no? All Scripture is. Now, I want to ask you another question. Is everything that the Holy Spirit revealed to us all truth? Buck's shaking his head. No. Don't y'all look at him like... What I want you to understand is the Holy Spirit gave us a message of what happened, but sometimes what happened was a lie. Now, don't y'all look at me too confused just yet. You shall not surely die. Is that a statement that was made? Is that a true record of that account in the Garden of Eden? Yes or no? Yes. Who said it? The father of all lies, the liar. That's an inspired account of what happened, but it's a being who lied. And I tell you that for this reason. I hear a lot of preachers quote a lot of things out of the book of Job that just make cold chills go up my spine. Is the book of Job a book that was given by the Holy Spirit through inspiration? Yes or no? Yes. Are most of the understandings that were expressed in the book of Job God's understandings and expressions? No. Most of the book of Job is the friends of Job who thought they had it right, and here was their message. If you would repent, you'd get over all this trouble. Did they know what they were talking about? They were as dumb as dirt. They're just like a bunch of present-day Calvinists. So we need to be careful. I hear my preaching brethren quote the book of Ecclesiastes all the time. And I just cringe. And the reason I say that to you is Ecclesiastes is a book, yes, inspired by the Holy Spirit, but it's a record of a man who lived his life as a materialist. What does that mean? He lived his life as if there is no God. And so what does he say? There's a time to be born, there's a time to die. Well, that's a great way to look at life, isn't it? But it's fascinating to me when I get to the end of the book of Ecclesiastes and Solomon faces aging and death coming, that you start out, and all of us know verse 1, but I want to go a lot further than that today because it describes aging vividly. There's not a better passage in the Bible to explain aging than what I have in front of you. So Solomon says, when you live life, if you leave God out, you're going to come face to face with this reality. Remember now your Creator in the days of your youth.